All right. The young folks this past week were learning mostly out of the book of 1 John. I'll be back in 1 John this morning, chapter 1. I've already apologized to Miss Colleen. She was at the Cowboy Church this past Thursday. The sermon she heard Thursday is the sermon she will hear this morning. Okay, well, thank you very much. And I erroneously felt like that sometime through the week I might have the opportunity to study and get a sermon ready for Cowboy Church. I did want to drive down. I knew I was going to miss Cowboy Church this coming Thursday, and so I didn't want to miss 2 weeks in a row. I'd done that just a couple of weeks ago and didn't want to do it again. And so I was going to drive down, preach Cowboy Church, drive back up on Friday morning, and then be back with y'all folks and here on Sunday, which was naturally what we were going to do. But I erroneously felt like that I would have time to study. I was wrong. I didn't have time to study. Not only did I not have time to study, there was no atmosphere for study. It has been a long time since I have been with kids that were that small and that noisy and that rambunctious and had that much energy. And so study went flying out the window with the water, the baby, the bathtub, and everything else that went with it. And so, what we're going to be looking at is 1 John chapter 1, starting in verse 5, and then running to the end of the first chapter. Now, the Bible tells us, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all." Now, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. This morning, we are looking at godly intelligence. Godly intelligence is what we're going to be looking at this morning. So let's pray. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for again the opportunity of being back at our home church at Park Place this morning. And God, we are anticipating a great time this week in Vacation Bible School. Lord, as you have done in the past, Lord, I'm sure that you're going to do in the present. Lord, you have blessed Vacation Bible School, and God, we don't see any reason that this week is going to be any different than the years that we have previously had Vacation Bible School here at Park Place since I've been here. And so, God, we know that we're going to have a good time. But God, maybe there's someone here this morning, Lord, that their hearts need to be prepared for this venture that we're getting ready to start out with this week. Lord, maybe somebody's not ready to be used of you this week. Father, they've got too much junk in their lives. They've got too many things that's got their minds preoccupied. And Lord, it's just not focused to where it needs to be. And so God, this morning, this message is mainly and mostly for your children. But God, we also pray for that one who may be here this morning that has not yet made up their mind whether or not that they are your child. They're not quite sure. They know for a fact, dear Father, that there's just something that's missing between you and them. And so, God, I pray that this morning the Holy Spirit might speak to their heart about their need for salvation. But whatever it may be, God, I pray that you will meet the need. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, last week's I preached out of Proverbs chapter 21 on the topic of true power. Some of those things I spoke about last week was that there was no wisdom that could stand against the Lord. And I told you last week that when we use that word wisdom, it insinuated a form of intellect or intelligence that came from two Latin words, inter, I-N-T-E-R, which means inside, within, and then legere, which means to choose between. So there's a choice. Now, last week, I was speaking about what Solomon was mentioning there in the book of Proverbs, speaking to the nation of Israel. This morning, John's first epistle is speaking to the children of God. Continually throughout this book, you will find that John uses the term brethren. And the reason that he uses the term brethren is because that he is speaking specifically to the children of God. Now, there's always that outward effect that whenever you speak to someone as a child of God, maybe you're speaking to somebody that you run into at the mall that you know is saved. You know that they're born again and you're speaking about church. Or if you are partaking of a lunch somewhere and you are eating lunch with someone that you know of is a child of God, you hope that your conversation is being heard by someone who may be teetering and tottering with their own salvation. Something that you say might help them make that decision for Christ. And so you hope and you pray for a residual effect, in other words. But John is speaking specifically to that child of God, that where their intellect is not made based upon the wisdom of the scholarly, not based upon the wisdom of those who have life experience. It's not based upon the wisdom of those who have done some great or deep theological study, but instead he is basing this upon a knowledge of this one thing, that the heart and the mind are tied together by the Spirit of God. And when you take a child of God and you tie their mind and their heart together with the Spirit of God, then their heart and their mind ought to be used and utilized together to work out the perfect will of God. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2 that we have the opportunity to know the perfect will of God. And as Paul was speaking to those folks there in Romans chapter 12, he was beseeching them, he was begging them that they would present their bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that is what John is letting us know right here. But he is also letting us know this. You got a choice. You've got a choice. Now, there's not a person here this morning that's born again, that knows the Lord, that understands the power of God, who does not believe that if God wanted to make you obey, he could. If God wanted to make you do, he could. He has that kind of power. If he has the power to create the world in 7 days, if he has the power to wash away sins through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, if he has the power to transform and change a life, then he has more than enough power to force you to do what he wants you to do. But that's not what God does. God allows you to have a choice in the matter. And that is why he uses this two-letter word of intellect, if, in these verses. Now, the first thing he wants us to know is the first thing we have to choose from and the first thing that we have to depend upon, we have a clear message. And look what he says there in verse 5. He says, this then is. Now, he didn't say anything about if right there. Brother Lyle, he didn't say if. He didn't say if this is the message. He didn't say this may be the message. He didn't say this could be the message. He didn't say there's a good chance that this is the message. He said, this is the message. This is the message. This is it. This is the only one you're going to get. He said, number one, it's a message that we have heard of him. The Bible, again, in the book of Romans, chapter 10, tells us. He says, how shall they believe if they have not heard? And how will they hear if God does not send out messengers? This week, in Vacation Bible School, those of you who are working in the nursery, you are messengers to those children in that nursery setting. If you're working with 1-year-olds, 2-year-olds, 3-year-olds, you are the initial messenger to some of those children who will come in contact with the gospel for the very first time. In your Vacation Bible School class, you are setting a standard. You are setting a course. You are initiating a beginning in their life that we are going to pray is going to be built upon not only this year, but in the years to come. If you are working with 4 and 5 year olds, 6 year olds, 7 year olds, 8 year olds, all the way up through the teen years, if you're in here and you are teaching an adult class and those kids, moms and dads may decide, well, I want to stay for Vacation Bible School and I want to see what's going on and I want to see what it is that, that all this is about. I mean, this has got to be about something. An awful lot of work went into this up here. Amen. And so this got to be about something. And so if there's a lot of work that went into it, I want to hear what it is. You give them the message. Because it is a message that first must be heard. And he said, once I've heard it, and I've heard it of Him, of God, of Jesus, of the Holy Spirit, now I've got to declare it to you. I got to declare it. I got to tell somebody. You know, Jeremiah said, you know, I'm burnt out in ministry. You know, that's a term a lot of folks use today. Well, I'm burnt out. I'm burnt out teaching Sunday school. I'm burnt out doing this, or I'm burnt out doing that. Brother Josh, I believe Jeremiah's first case of burnout we saw in the Bible, if I'm correct. And he said, here, nobody's listening, nobody's paying attention, nobody's hearing what it is that I'm saying, nobody's lives are being changed. Israel, it's not changing their attitudes, their nature toward God. And so if they're not going to listen, I don't see why I'm wasting my time. I'll just quit. I'll let somebody else do it. But here's what the Holy Spirit did with Jeremiah. The Bible says that Jeremiah said that that message inside of him was a fire down inside of his bones. And he had to tell somebody what it was that God had done for him. You might be thinking this week, well, we'll be here from 5:45 to 8 o'clock. What are we going to do for 2 hours and 15 minutes? You give them a message. What are we going to do in that span? You give them the message. It's a message that's worthy to be heard of Him, to be declared unto others. And this is the message that God is like. Folks, I'm going to tell you right now, if you can't do anything this week, you just tell those kids about how good God is. God is good. You just tell him how. You just tell them how good God is. And you teach them how good God is by being an example of how God's been good to you. God is light. He's good. There's nothing that you can look at God and say, well, God, now there's a little chink in your armor over here, and this is something you might want to work on a little bit. You know, I'm going to pray. You know, we may want to see if we can't get you a course you can take, or some sort of remedial learning class that you can take, or some sort of course that's being offered by Gardner Webb or by Campbell or by Mars Hill or some other Baptist college in the state of North Carolina. We'll see whether or not we can't get you some extension training, or whether or not there may be some associational training. You know, Jesus, you've got this little chink in your armor over here. You know, you relate well to this group good, but you don't relate as well to this group over here. So we need to get you some training. No, absolutely not. The Bible says God is light. Every place that you look at God, you see light. When you stand on the outside and you see God, there's light. When you're on the inside, there's light. When you're standing up above, there's light. When you're looking from beneath, there's light. When you look from all four sides, there's light. Whether it's from the north or the south or the east or from the west, whether it's during the daytime or during the nighttime, and everything that you see in God is light. And the Bible says, and in God there is no darkness at all. You can't look at God and say, God, I've got a problem with this right here, or God, I've got a problem with that right there. Because the Bible says in God there is no darkness at all. Period. End of discussion. End of it. That's it. There's no if when it comes to God. Absolutely none. Now, for those of you, and I'm going to get off on a political deal, but that's all right. I'm up here. I'm sleep deprived. I can do it. Okay? All right. Wherever we were this past week in Dobson, they didn't have 3G signal for those of us who have Verizon. So I had no idea what was going on in the world. None whatsoever. None. All this rigmarole going on about Chick-fil-A, I read the article in the back of the Biblical Reporter, thought it was a good article, didn't see any issue with it. Well, evidently there's some folks who have issue with it. Okay? If we had it in the budget and it was up to me, we had catered Chick-fil-A this coming Wednesday to Vacation Bible School. You know, I don't know what folks thought the kind of answer they was going to get. Here's the Baptist press talking to a Southern Baptist Christian businessman about his own personal beliefs. I don't know what the big rigmarole is about. That'd be like walking into a Baptist church and asking a real Baptist pastor about what it is they believe about it. Now, I'm not talking about some of these sissies that kind of straddle the fence. I'm talking about God's men. That's what I'm talking about. All right? And all this going on about, they're hate mongers and they're homophobics and they're all this and they're just spreading hate and all this. Look, folks, I don't get involved in all that. I try to stay out of all that. All I know is this, that God is light. In Him is no darkness at all. The message is worthy to hear. You can get all tore up at Chick-fil-A. You can get all tore up at the state of North Carolina about a vote that took place on May the 8th. You can get all tore up about all these other things like this. And you can say, well, that just proves right there about this as far as Christianity or that as far as Christianity. All I know is this. God's good. That's all I know. That's all I know. First, if we're going to look at it this morning. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, but we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. I know that that didn't sound good. I know that Brother Lyle hunts. I know Brother Dean hunts. I know I hunt, and I know there's some hunters in here. And I saw, a young man that we baptized last night at the Cowboy Church by the name of Hunter. I saw a post he made on Facebook. He said, well, I guess I need to get my bow out and start practicing. Because bow season and deer season is just right around the corner. Now, most of those bow hunters are going to zero in on a target about the size of a mason lid jar at about 20 yards, 60 feet. Now, from where my pulpit is to that back door is 54 feet. So if I step off two more paces, that's going to bring me to about right here. It's about 60 foot. That deer hunter, before he takes that bow out into the woods, is going to be able to knock out that mason lid jar with no problems. And Dean's, he's got his lips pursed. The testosterone's starting to flow. He's thinking about climbing up in the deer stand. He's going, yeah, no problem, 60 feet. No problem. So from here to that back door, no problem, 60 feet. Now let's look at that target like the will of God. For you to be in the perfect will of God, you've got to hit that bullseye right there. You've got to be right where God wants you. To where that every place that you see God, you see light. You see light. And you live in that light. And you walk in that light. And you love that light. And you dwell in that light. You pursue that light because in that light, you see God like you never seen Him any other way. Right there in that bullseye. Well, there's a lot of Christians, and you may be one of those. You say, well, you know, preacher, I'm not maybe right there. But maybe I'm out here. Now, I've known some hunters. And they say, well, you know what? I don't have a whole lot of time to tweak at it and mess with it. And put it right there dead center. But I'm okay taking that bow out. Dean's shaking his head no. I'm okay taking that bow out like that. And I'm going to tell you why Dean's shaking his head no. Because you're sitting up in that stand and you're thinking, okay, I'm about 6 inches high, I'm about 6 inches low, I'm about 6 inches left, I'm about 6 inches right. I'm not perfect, but I might still be able to make a good shot. Now, that's what they call, instead of the perfect will of God, the permissive will of God. You're not out in darkness, but you're not in light either. And here's what's going to happen. The first time that deer steps out in the woods, and the pressure's on to make a good shot, and you've got that bow pulled back, that arrow back, that That kiss are buttoned up against the corner of your lips. You're trying to look out that peep sight. And you're thinking, okay, am I 6 inches high? Or am I 6 inches low? Am I 6 inches wide? Or am I 6 inches short? Your confidence goes out the window. And you pull that trigger, you're probably going to miss that animal. It's the same thing. You say, well, I'm okay with the Lord. I'm not here. But I'm okay. But as soon as you need to pray, as soon as you need the Lord, you've got about as much confidence that God's going to answer your prayer as that hunter does that he's going to harvest that animal, which is very, very little. And I would say, with all confidence, 80 to 90% of Christians right here. Easy. Easy. We'll prove it, preacher. You'll see him Sunday mornings. Sometimes. But you won't see him on Sunday night. You won't see him on Wednesday. When they pray, and the kids will know that this is true, this past week, the camp pastor, and he made a point, and I've said it plenty of times. Most Christians pray when they need something, when they want something, and not because they're seeking fellowship, because that's what John said we're supposed to seek. He said we're supposed to seek fellowship with God. He said if we say that we walk in the light, if we say we have fellowship with Him, but yet we walk in darkness, we lie and we're not doing the truth. Now, here's what a lot of Christians will do. And there's not a hunter that'd take this bow out. You're way out here. Or you're way out here. You can't even hit the target. You're walking in darkness. You're not lost. You're still a child of God. You're still born again. Your name is still written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But your life is so far off from where God wants you and where you need to be that you're in darkness. You're just like what you were apart from your salvation, what you were when you were still lost, when you were still without Christ, when you were still without the blood. He said, if you say that you have fellowship with God, but yet your life's in darkness, you're just telling a lie. You're just telling a lie. And how do you expect God to bless you if your life is a lie, and it's not the truth? The reason that Christians aren't making a difference is because that we're not living like a difference has been made in us. This week in Vacation Bible School, our heart ought to be to make a difference in those that we're going to be around, because the Bible says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That is our goal. That is where we should be striving for, because the Bible says that God is light. The Bible tells us in John chapter 1 that Jesus is light. And folks, when the light comes on, the darkness has got to go. The darkness has got to flee. Last night we were at the National Day of the Cowboy, and they asked me if I'd hold herd, and I had never, and for those of you who hadn't never been to cut and you don't know what it is. But what it is they've got a bunch of cattle out on one end, and they're going to cut it, and they're going to work the cow. And so what you do is you hold herds. You've got folks on horseback in all four corners of the arena, and you just sit there to make sure that the calves don't get away. And so I'm just sitting there, and I'm just real excited, just sitting on the horse. No, not going anywhere. I'm just sitting there. It's about 9:30 at night, and Brother Johnny sends me a text. And so I thought, well, I ain't doing nothing. I ain't going anywhere. I guess I'll check my text. And so I pull my phone out. Now it's 9:30 at night. It's dark outside. Hit the little button. And it was like the sunlight came off that phone. And everybody's standing over saying, is he Facebooking on the back of that horse? I said, no, I'm getting a text. and I'm going to answer it too. Well, I'm sitting on the back of that, but I said that to say this, that even in that dark, that little bit of light changed everything that was around me. Just that little bit of light. But if you're in the perfect will of God, you've got a whole lot of light. The Bible says in verse 8, says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth's not in us. But if we confess our sins, now I'm going to confess a sin this morning. You kids, hear me out before you make a judgment on what I'm getting ready to say. I'm going to confess a sin this morning. This past Sunday, when we took off to go to the Surrey Baptist Association mission camp, I was not ready to go. I was not physically ready. I was not emotionally ready. I was not spiritually ready to go to that camp with these young folks. I wasn't ready. Now, I'm going to tell you what that's a nice way of saying. It's a nice way of saying, if somebody would have stepped up and volunteered to go in my stead, I'd have had no problem with it. Y'all just hear me out for a little bit. I'm just being honest. I had things that needed to be done around the church. We were planning a National Day of the Cowboy for the Cowboy Church. I had things that needed to be done there. I had plenty of things I needed to be done. I'm just being honest. And it showed up the first night I was there, too. Some little old kid, skinny-legged, long-footed, long-legged. I went in there, blowed up that air mattress, thought, this ain't going to be too bad. Man, I came back. I don't know where it was I came back from, but the hordes of Satan himself had moved into that bedroom. All air mattresses were touching air mattresses. There wasn't any place for me to step. There wasn't any place for me to go. I felt confined. There was three boys sleeping on one air mattress. Instead of sleeping this way, they were sleeping this way. And the one that slept on this end decided without my permission that he was just going to share my bed with me. Now, we voted against that junk in May, did we not? I wasn't sharing my bed with no young man in no church, especially a Baptist church, for a whole week. We wasn't going to play footsies. I told him we wasn't going to play footsies. He looked at me and he said, you're mean. I said, yeah, and I've got a concealed to carry too. And I laid there that night and the lights finally went out and them little old boys, and I'm going to tell you, I'm not used to 30 kids in a row. I just wasn't used to it. I mean, they rank from this height right here to Brandon's height right there. And they were loud and they were rude. I mean, some of them were gross. I mean, I wasn't ready for it. I was not ready for it. I mean, honestly, I was ready just to boil one of them and just be done with it. You know, as an example to the rest, I wasn't ready. And so I just had to roll over that night and just get on my face before God and say, God, I'm not ready for this. If I'm going to make a difference in that work site that I'm going to go to tomorrow and in the lives of these kids that are in this room today, God, you got to change me and the way I feel. And by Friday, it was one of the best youth experiences I've ever had, without a doubt. Before we left Friday, I had to compose myself. I was about to cry. I had a good time. I had a great time. Had a good workplace. These kids did great. Proud of every one of them. They did great. They wasn't the problem. Their pastor was the problem. See, preachers have problems just like everybody else does. Preachers have to get their hearts right just like everybody else does. Preachers have sin just like everybody else does. And I had to confess that sin and get it right. And God made it right to where when I went to my workspace and there was development mentally and physically, developmentally problems, the folks with problems there. Y'all know what kind of problems I have with names.
within 3 hours, I knew all 50 of their names. That don't happen with me. That was a God thing. That was a God thing. See, if we confess our sins, then He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I'm expecting Brandon to be in the altar this morning. He had one of those young ladies at that center, and he drew it. I know he drew it. A great big D for Duke. And had that lady paint it Duke blue and bring it to me and ask me what I thought about it, knowing that I was going to have to tell her that it was pretty and that I liked it. And while she was showing it to me, he was standing behind her laughing at me. And so when Brandon comes up to the altar this morning and prays, I don't want anybody praying with him, okay? He's got to work that out on his own. Because the Bible says that if we confess our sins, He'll be faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I'm going to close right here. If you say that you've never been in that boat, or if some of you are here this morning and you're in that boat right now and you say that you're okay, you're a liar. That's what the Bible says right there. Look what it says. If we say that we have not sinned, if you say that you have not sinned, and I've never been in that boat, I've never felt that way, I've never acted that way, God had never had to straighten me out. And folks, let me tell you, unless you're in the center of God's will this morning, in some way, shape, size, or form, you're lacking in the fellowship that God wants you to experience with Him. And if you say, I'm not, but yet you know deep down inside you are, you're telling a lie. And you need to work that out this morning. Because God will not use you like He needs to use you, like He wants to use you, and He desires to use you until you confess it and get it out and get it over with. That little fella that played footsies with me that first night and told me that I was mean. His name's James. Yeah, if it's James, the kids know who it is now. Had his little braces in his mouth. I mean, he's just plumb cute. And before it was all over with, before the week would be over with, he'd walk up to me and tell me what he had learned. I'd tell him what I'd learned. And the last day, he hugged my neck and I hugged his. Told him I'd see him. I said, I'll see you later. And if I don't, I said, I'll see you in glory. He said, Tom, I've had a good time being around you. He didn't say anything about Sunday. That was done with. That was over. That was in the past. He said, I had a good time with you. I said, I had a good time with you too, buddy. If you want to start having fun again in the Lord, maybe you got some things you got to confess and get rid of this morning.